That's why I tell a doctor, you're not just a doctor. You're supposed to be God's representative in the medical field, so the medical field sees what God looks like when God helps hurting people. Lawyer, you're not just supposed to be a lawyer. You're supposed to be God's representative in the Bar Association, so the Bar Association gets to see what God looks like when he tries a case. Teacher, you're not just supposed to be a teacher. You're supposed to be God's representative in the classroom, so the classroom sees what God looks like when God teaches a lesson. The book of Esther is the only book in the Bible that does not contain a direct reference to God. Esther was born a star, but she didn't realize that she had been blessed to be a blessing. But it's not too late. Even when it seems like God is absent, his fingerprints are all over your situation when you're willing to set aside your own interest. I want to talk to you about a lady named Esther. Esther is a very interesting lady because she had to face this question of purpose. Now, Esther, the book, is very interesting in all of the Bible because it is the one book that doesn't have God's name in it. In fact, when the canon was being determined, they battled over this. Could this be a canonical book? Could this be an inspired book of the Bible when God's name is not even mentioned in it? But the reason why it is unique is because it shows the fingerprints of God in the hand of history, even when his name is not mentioned. That he can show up in ways that are behind the scene, maneuvering and twisting and tweaking and turning things. Now, you may wonder why I call Esther a diva. I call Esther a diva because her name means star. Esther means star. Bible says she was pretty in face and form. In fact, Esther is so pretty that when the king called all these young ladies in to look at him, Esther said, I don't need no makeup. He said that they put cosmetics on all the other ladies. And Esther said, you don't need to do all that to me. And it still says she was the prettiest lady in the room. So she is pretty. And what makes her diva is she's pretty and she knows it. Okay? And so the story is well known. King Ahasuerus is having a party. His wife Vashti is in the room and he tells her to come out and parade herself in front of his guest. And she says, oh no, you're not putting me on blast like that. So she resists the king. The king is ticked off. His posse comes in and said, now, if you let your wife do that, all the other wives are going to do that. And they're going to disrespect us like your wife just disrespected you. And king, if we were you, we wouldn't go for that. And the king dismissed his wife and got rid of Vashti. Now, he had been drinking. Mr. Daniels and him had a long fellowship with one another, and he had been drinking. He came to his senses and couldn't believe what he did, but this is Persia. And the laws of the Medes and Persia says once you make a law, you can't change it. So he was stuck. They decided to parade in front of him the beautiful young virgins of the kingdom. And then there was a young lady named Esther. Esther's parents had died. She was raised by a relative named Mordecai. Mordecai was a man who loved God and who loved Esther. He raised her, the scripture says, like a daughter. And she was one of the ones selected to go into the face of the king. And the king was spellbound by her beauty. He was overwhelmed by her. He saw her and said, good googa mugga ooga. He said, you hurting me, sister. All right. He was overwhelmed by Esther's beauty. And he selected Esther to be his bride. Now, I can understand why God didn't put his name in this book. Israel is outside of the land. Israel is away from God. Esther is marrying a pagan. So there's a lot of stuff going on in the context of the book that God decides to do this one from the background. There's another man. Esther's like a soap opera, As the World Turns, General Hospital, One Life to Live. I mean, it's got all the ingredients of a soap, because there's another guy in the story, you know. His name is Haman. Haman is a wicked dude. He hates the Jews. So Haman comes up with a plan to kill all the Jews and gets the king to sign off on it. And it's the law of the Medes and the Persians. You don't change it. So he sets in motion a system of things to get rid of the Jews. And he does it because he doesn't like Mordecai. Isn't that how bad evil is? He hates Mordecai, so he wants to kill everybody related to him. And then that's when the story thickens and the plot comes alive and the diva is called forth. Mordecai sends a message to Esther. And this is what he says to Esther in Esther chapter 4. He sends a message and he gave a copy of the text, verse 8, and said, Esther, go before the king. The end of verse 8 says, and employ his favor and to plead with him for her people. Now, Esther had not told Ahasuerus, the king, she was a Jew. She had hidden that from him. All he knew was she was a pretty woman. He says, now is the time to open up your mouth and let the king know that you belong to the people who have been condemned to death. Now is your opportunity. The diva responds, and she says, back to Mordecai, verse 11, all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that for any man or woman who comes to the king, to the inner court, who is not summoned, he has but one law, that he be put to death, unless the king holds out to him the golden scepter so that he may live. And I have not been summoned to come to the king for these 30 days. Translation, I can't help y'all. I feel bad for y'all. I know it's a bad situation, but me and the king, we haven't talked for 30 days. We're not together right now. And he hadn't summoned me in. And while I feel sorry for y'all's predicament, I can't go. I can't help you right now. She made a classic mistake, and her classic mistake was forgetting or not realizing why God had put her there. She had done what so many people do today. They get so high and mighty that they lose sight of the blessing of God and of the purpose of God. She's living large, and she knows to go before the king is to jeopardize all this good life that she's now living. I'm sure you know people like that. They were at one level, but then they got blessed. And now they're at another level. And now they can't help folk that they used to be a part of. They can't look back to those who are in trouble, because they're now living in a new side of town, driving a new car, wearing new clothes. She says, I am sorry, Mordecai. I can't help you. And that's when Mordecai responds in verse 13. Then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, do not imagine that you in the king's palace can escape any more than all the Jews. I like that first phrase. You remember that old school song? That's just your imagination running away with you. My girlfriend's imagination was running away with her. She was laying in bed thinking the wrong thoughts, because Mordecai knew her. He raised her. He said, girl, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking I'm safe in the king's palace, and what's going to happen to the Jews, that's not going to happen to me. He says, girlfriend, don't let your imagination run away with you. Don't think just because you're living high and mighty, diva, just because you're living on top of the world, that this thing is not going to come back and bite you. Don't think just because you got your BA, MA, PhD, your high-paying job, your larger-than-life living, don't think just because you're no longer in the hood and you're in the suburbs or you're now outside of the realm of the kind of stuff you grew up in, that this stuff is not going to affect you. You know, when we work in the schools we work in, some of those problems used to be just urban problems, but now they're everywhere. It doesn't matter where you live because this stuff has infiltrated every community. He says, don't think just because you're living, don't miss out on something. And then he throws a phrase that we all use, we all love, and we've all quoted. He says, for if you remain silent, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish. He says, you're going to face the great reversal. Because while God has blessed you, girlfriend, God don't need you. God can hit a bullseye with a crooked stick. It's 11 miles to go from our church to downtown Dallas if you go straight on Highway 35. It is the direct route. Therefore, it is the preferred route. But sometimes when I'm going downtown Dallas, the traffic is blocked up. So my direct route is blocked, but I have four other ways to get to downtown Dallas. I will exit, cross over the bridge, get to Jefferson Avenue, cross the Jefferson Avenue Bridge, and I get downtown. Or I'll turn right on Illinois, go through South Dallas, I get downtown, you know? I take Zang all the way in to Commerce, I'm going to get downtown. In other words, if my direct route is blocked, I have other options. So, girlfriend, don't think you're the only route for God to get to what he wants to do to deliver his purpose. He would rather use you. He would rather go through you. But if you block his way, he has another route. See, that's why you can't put all your stock in any individual. You can't think that your whole world's going to shut down if they don't come through for you. Because God is not boxed in by any single scenario. He can get to where he wants to go through a whole lot of different routes. He says, and if he has to skip you because you weren't available to him, he's still going to save us and wipe you out because you were not submitted to him. He says to her as he concludes his statement, and who knows whether you have attained royalty for such a time as this. In other words, there was a reason that you were placed in this kingdom. There was a reason you were made pretty as you look. There was a reason he selected you out of all the people he could have selected. And he says the reason is his kingdom.
We'll return for more of today's message right after this special announcement from Dr. Evans.
Hello, this is Tony and Lois Evans with the Urban Alternative, and we want to invite all of our pastors and pastors' wives to a special time of spiritual refreshing and spiritual recovery on our Canada New England cruise, June 25th through July 2nd. It's going to be a special time with you in mind.
We're looking forward to meeting you and looking forward to, like Tony said, having a refreshing, renewal, reviving time with you. It's going to be great. Come and join us, meet some new friends. And we're looking forward to meeting you as pastors and pastors' wives. We have the joy of ministering to you on our website and in so many different ways, but it'll be really, really nice to meet you personally and get a chance to love on you. So come and join us on our wonderful cruise. You will be refreshed.
You know, the theme of our cruise is breathe, because we want you to take a deep breath.
Yes.
You know, get away from ministry for a while and just get with other folks who also need a break. My son Anthony will be doing the music. My daughter Priscilla Shire, now actress Priscilla Shire, is going to be ministering the word. I'll be ministering the word. We'll be fellowshipping with you. Martha Menizzi will be ministering in music as well. So it's going to be an exciting time. You don't want to miss it. It will be June 25th through July 2nd, 2016, Canada, New England. Log on to TonyEvans.org. It will give you all the information about how to register for this time to breathe. God bless you. Look forward to seeing you on the cruise.
Bless you.
We now return to today's message.
You retain royalty not so you can look good only, not so you can ride good only, not so that you could live large only. You attain royalty to advance the purpose of God. He put you up here so you could save somebody. Girlfriend, you've been blessed to be a blessing. When you lose sight of connecting your blessing with God's purposes, then you lose sight of ever being used by God. You lose sight of God ever using you because you thought it was all about you. The biblical definition of a blessing is enjoying, experiencing, and extending God's goodness. And if God's goodness isn't ever extended because you want to keep it for yourself, then you lose ever being used by God. She was too much of a diva to help somebody else. She was too big. She had lost sight. If God has blessed you, diva, if God has made something out of you, he didn't put you on display just so you could look good. Because on your best day, remember the dirt, you ain't but $10, if that. On your best day, on your best day, you are a mannequin on display. I ain't going to call you a dummy no more, but you are a mannequin on display. God blesses you to use you for something bigger, to attract you to his kingdom. He says, Esther, you have attained royalty. You've been put in this high position, diva, for such a God wants to use you. That's why I tell a doctor, you're not just a doctor. You're supposed to be God's representative in the medical field. So the medical field sees what God looks like when God helps hurting people. Lawyer, you're not just supposed to be a lawyer. You're supposed to be God's representative in the Bar Association. So the Bar Association gets to see what God looks like when he tries a case. Teacher, you're not just supposed to be a teacher. You're supposed to be God's representative in the classroom. So the classroom sees what God looks like when God teaches a lesson. Businessman or woman, you're not just a businessman or woman. You're God's representative in business. So the business world sees what God looks like when God cuts the deal. And in other words, you've been put here for something bigger. And if you lose the bigger, you lose your purpose. This diva had lost sight that she was put there not for her own enjoyment. She was put there to be used by God, and God had a plan to use her. You know, God has a lot of divas in his kingdom. People who've gotten so high and mighty, so successful, so self-absorbed, that he no longer can use them. Now, when they didn't have anything, when life was not rolling like it is now, perhaps they were more available, but now they don't have time for God. They don't have time to deliver people. If God has delivered you and has set you free, he expects you, especially if there's room in your boat, to deliver somebody else. But we got a generation of delivered divas. People who have been delivered by God, who've been blessed by God, who celebrate God every Sunday, who won't give a second to deliver anybody else, who don't understand God wants to use you, diva. He just doesn't want to bless you. And so what God was after was her recognizing through Mordecai that she was placed into the kingdom for something bigger than her situation. And that's why I love her response. She said, assemble all the Jews, verse 16. Gather them together. Don't drink or eat day or night for these many days. You fast for me. That's where God comes in. His name is not mentioned, but fasting automatically meant giving up for a spiritual purpose. He says, you fast because I'm going to take the risk. I'm going to go into the king. And then she says, if I perish, I perish. Because she had somebody in her life who brought her to her senses. He says, you're here for a purpose. And she says, okay. Because let me tell you something. If you're going to do anything in life where you're trying to achieve something, you're going to probably take a risk. We'll take a risk on business. We'll take a risk on people. We often won't take a risk on God. We won't place our bet on him. She says, if I perish, I perish. I remember when Tony Dungy was playing for the Super Bowl. And we were talking on the phone, praying every week together as he hit each playoff game. And when we came up to the Super Bowl against the Chicago Bears, we were on the phone together and we were getting ready for our prayer time. I said, now, how do you want me to pray? He says, what I want you to pray is whether I win or whether I lose, that I'll make God's name great. Do you view where you are as a platform to be used? Do you view what God has done for you as an opportunity to advance his kingdom? Or is it just about saving where you are? She said, if I perish, I perish. In other words, God can still use you if you will make yourself available. In other words, Esther, it's not too late. It's not too late for God to use you, for you to change your thinking, for you to change your operation, for you to begin to move in concert with God. It is not too late. It is the most inconsequential thing you could ever read, and yet the whole book of Esther turns on the providential move of God. And it's in chapter 6, verse 1. It says, during the night, the king could not sleep. The whole book turns on insomnia. It turns on the fact that the king can't sleep. So the king is laying in bed. He's tossing and turning. He's trying to sleep. He can't sleep. So he tells one of his servants, bring me something to read. I can't sleep, so I might as well read. They bring him a book. They bring him a book of the Chronicles that categorizes events. Now, if you want to read something, I don't know if you want to read something that boring, you know? But he's reading names being chronicled. So he's sitting up in the middle of the night, because remember, the king can't sleep. Of all the books that could have been brought him, it was this book. And as he's reading the book, he sees the name of a man named Mordecai. And it says, Mordecai saved the life of the king from two guys who were trying to assassinate the king. He said, wait a minute, Mordecai, who is this dude Mordecai? Well, yeah, he saved your life. King didn't know Mordecai. He says, well, have we rewarded this guy for saving my life? No, we haven't done anything. In the meantime, remember, this is a soap opera. Haman is out there building gallows to hang Mordecai. So he's building a hanging noose because he's going to kill Mordecai tomorrow morning. The king can't sleep. He's doing this boring reading and comes across this name of a man that saved his life. He now calls Haman in. He says, Haman, what do you think we ought to do about somebody who saves the king's life? Haman says, Haman thought he was talking about him. He said, I throw a party. I do something for the boy. I be rolling for that boy. I be doing some deep stuff for him. He said, okay, go get Mordecai and let's celebrate his victory. All because the king couldn't sleep. You see, God is so infinitesimally specific. He can turn things on a dime. You never know how he's going to do something. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. As high as the heavens are above the earth, that's how your ways are not my ways. So Esther, when Esther made the decision to link into God, God used insomnia to turn the situation around. Don't try to prefigure how God's going to fix something. You wasting your time. You can't begin to think of the million methods he can use to get something done. You just make sure that you situate yourself. And it's not too late, because she still had the opportunity to do that, and God turned it around. I remember when I was going through seminary and I was working at Trailways bus station. I'm working at Trailways and I'm on the night shift, the dead man shift, 11 o'clock to 7 in the morning. And I'm there, and they had a scam going on. The scam was, you would punch out for lunch, they would punch you back in an hour, but you would go sleep. So you would be paid while sleeping, because somebody else would punch you back in, and then they would rotate it so that every man would get a night. Well, they came to me and explained to me that this is how we roll on the night shift, and it's fair for everybody, and everybody has got to take their turn to punch somebody else in and to take their turn to get a night's rest, because you're going to be covered by everybody else. I said, I don't think I can do that. That wouldn't be honest, kind of like stealing. And they said, well, no, that's how we do it here. All right. So I'm in a little predicament now, because, you know, I want them to like me, and I want, but I can't do that. So they decide, since I'm not participating and I'm the only one not participating, that they're not going to help me unload my buses. So I'm out there unloading a lot by myself, or they would get started and leave. Or I got to go to the bathroom. I got to do this. They would leave. In other words, until I come around, I got this extra weight on me. A few months later, I'm called into the office. I am called into the office, and I'm wondering what I've done wrong. And they said, we have been sending a man out during the night shift, and we have seen the scam. We know about folks sleeping and punching folk in and out. We also know you didn't participate. So as beginning tonight, you're the new night supervisor on the night shift. Oh, yeah. I felt that one. I saw how God took something and turned it around. I'll tell you one other story. When we first was starting our church and growing our church, we were in a school. The school board said we had to leave. We appealed to them for 6 more months. They said they had to vote on it. So we went to the vote to see how the vote would come out on us staying, because we didn't have anywhere to go with 100 or 200 members. And as we were there, we were waiting and waiting. We waited an hour and a half, me and the assistant pastor. We waited an hour and a half and nothing. Finally, one of the ladies came out who was on the board. And she said, two of our members are missing. And we've been waiting for them to come, but they have not arrived. So we decided to go ahead and vote. And we voted 5-4 for you to stay the extra 6 months. Well, the two who were missing were two who were against us. Once she came out and told us that, the two rushed in. The two had driven together to come to the meeting. When they got to the exit of the meeting, there was an accident. The accident blocked the highway for an hour and a half. They missed the vote. We got to stay.
Yeah, Esther was a diva. She had it going on, didn't she? She wound up from the outhouse to the White House. I mean, she kind of rose quickly and became a little sediddy, you know. She was too big to intervene on behalf of her people until God got a hold of the situation. And God can get a hold of your situation. And he can take you from where you are and use you to do great things. God used this woman to save a whole nation. And he can use you. He can redeem your past, your failings, your bad attitudes and wrong actions, and make you great for his kingdom. We want him to do that in your life. And to show you how, we've written the book, It's Not Too Late. For a gift of any amount, you will discover how God used people who had some things in their past that weren't so pretty, and how he made them beautiful for his purposes. He wants to do the same with you. So contact us here at The Urban Alternative and get your copy of It's Not Too Late for a gift of any amount. As generous as you can be to support our ministry, we'll get this resource right back to you into your hands by contacting us at 1-800-800-3222. That's 1-800-800-3222. Or you can go on our website, tonyevans.org, and get your copy of It's Not Too Late. It'll challenge you. It'll encourage you. It will inspire you. And most of all, it will give you hope. Or hope you can also offer to others who are struggling. So contact us right away. Thank you for your support. God bless you. See you again next time.